Hello and welcome to this talk on the use of interviews in qualitative research. Now, interviews are a tricky business. They're very easy to do, but they're very hard to do well. I would compare interviews with software development. So there is a whole interviewing process, just as there is a software development process. Naive software developers often think that the programming part of the development process is where it begins and ends, so they think programming is the big deal. Whereas the more experienced developer knows well that the hard work is done long before the programming begins, in the analysis and design phases. And even more important than the actual programming is then, after the programming process, the testing and evaluation to check the quality of the product that has been produced. And similarly, I'd view the interview process in the same way. Preparing for the interview is key. Doing the interviews is the fun bit, but the bits before and after, evaluating and analyzing the results after, designing and developing before, are the key parts of the interview process. So it's important to recognize that you're part of a multi-stage process when you're doing interviews. You're not just going to talk to people at random. So what we're going to do in this particular talk is focus on one esteemed author's work on how to do interviews. So there's a chap called Steinar Cavell, that's S-T-E-I-N-A-R, Steinar, like Frankenstein, Stein with A-R at the end, Cavell, K-V-A-L-E. And his work on interviews and qualitative research in general is really considered the high watermark of the theory associated with interviewing. So Cavell defines 7 stages of doing interviews. So we'll look and discuss each of the 7 stages. So the first stage is called themizing, and that is to identify what the theme of the interview is. So what is the interview about? What's the purpose of it? And that should be strongly dictated by your research question. Whatever your research question is, that will be the dominant theme in terms of what the interview is about. The second stage is called designing, and designing is about designing the interview. So the key question there is, how will the intended knowledge be obtained? And clearly part of the designing process will be to identify questions that help lead towards the research question, and part of the designing will be looking at existing literature and existing approaches to interviews people have taken and types of questions that they have asked. The third stage in the interview process, Cavell, it calls interviewing. So that's when you actually conduct the interview. The interviews are conducted carefully, respectfully, in a relaxed fashion. The next stage after the interviews is called the transcribing stage, where the interviews, if they were recorded by audio or video, they're put down as written text. The transcribing stage is very important. Everything must be transcribed from what was said into written format. There's no point summarizing or taking out the key points at that stage. That transcription must be available for others to review. After the transcription stage is the next stage, analyzing. So based on the type of investigation you're doing, different types of analysis will be done. There's a companion podcast to this one, which covers the formal analytical techniques you can use to analyze different types of interviews. Following that, the next stage is called verifying. So that's checking the validity of the interview, checking the reliability of the interview, and checking the generalizability of the findings on the basis of the analysis process. So then the final stage is called reporting. And reporting is communicating the findings in a scientific format that's clear and ethical and all those important things. So to recap, the 7 stages are themizing, designing, interviewing, transcribing, analyzing, verifying, and reporting. So we would see this very much like the software waterfall lifecycle model. Design, develop, analyze, maintain. Similar to that. So let's imagine our research question or theme was, let's say, does summative assessment diminish a student's intrinsic interest in learning? So does summative assessment, that is, students have to work towards exams, does that diminish their interest in a specific topic? Because they know they have this big exam looming, so they mightn't have as genuine an interest. So if that was the research question and that's the theme. What kinds of questions would I design for that? You could ask the mature or a non-mature student. Are they a national or a non-national student? Is English their primary language or not? Probably you'd ask them, what is your main purpose in coming to college? And if they said it's to learn, or is it to get a qualification? You could ask them straight out, do you prefer to be incentivized when you do your modules? Would you prefer to get a reward if your lecturer bought you a car if you passed your module? Would that help you pass your module more successfully? Possibly not something as facetious as that, but something that will ask you how intrinsically motivated they are and how extrinsically motivated. Have you ever experienced a conflict between what you want to study and what you have to study for exams? That could be a good one as well. So once you've decided on a theme, identifying appropriate research questions is just a matter of thinking of the many, many ways of asking the same question. Asking the question in slightly different ways to get slightly different angles on the point. And maybe to help with this, we'll think about the different types of questions you can ask in an interview and see how that would help identifying questions for the theme. So there's a number of different types of questions you can ask. Well, at the start of the interview, you have to ask introductory kind of warm-up questions. And they're just, how are you doing? I hope you're comfortable. Thank you very much for doing this. And then you start off with something like, can you tell me about your feeling towards exams? Or can you describe a time when you had to study for something that was forced on you because it was an exam in it? So they'd be introductory or warm-up questions. Then there are follow-up questions, depending on the types of answers students give. Sometimes students give subtle hints that there is an issue with their answer. Good interviewers look out for what are called red lights. Maybe it's unusual terminology. Maybe it's the intonation in their voice. Whatever it is, but the subtle nuances that say that this is an important issue. So if you identify a signal that this is an important issue, it's good to follow up with a secondary question. Another type of question is called a probing question. So that's just asking the question without setting a limit on the type of answer the person can give. So it's, can you think of any further examples of something? Or can you say more about? So these are broad questions to allow the interviewee to expand and expound upon a specific topic. And I suppose in a sense, the opposite of that almost are called specifying questions, where you ask for exact information. How do you cope with the following scenario? Or what would you do if? What would you do when? So these are very much probing a specific piece of information. If you want to change the topic or you want to introduce a new topic, you ask what are called direct questions. So it might be something like, based on our theme we're discussing, have you ever been offered money for good grades? So that's a direct way of hitting the topic of investigation. And of course, if there are direct questions, there are indirect questions. An indirect question might be a projective type question where you're projecting the question onto a third party. So do you think other people have ever been offered money, or how do you think other people feel about this particular issue? That might be a way of doing indirectly asking the same question. There are things called structuring questions, which again, like direct questions, are ways of moving on to new topics or whole new issues. So once a topic has been exhausted, you need to transition into a new one, and you need to say it quite straightforwardly. You just say, I'd like now to move on to, and whatever the new issue is. And sometimes it could be the case that you need to clarify what the interviewee has said. So that's called an interpreting question. It's essentially rephrasing the same question again, or restating what you think they said. So it's, do you mean that you would prefer, or is it correct that you feel? And that is just to get complete reiteration of what you think their point was. I will point out as well that there is another type of question that isn't a question, which is silence. And silence is a very, very powerful tool in an interview. So let me give you an example of silence. So, with silence, there's a lot that can happen. The real thing is that this is an interview, not some kind of cross-examination or interrogation. So it shouldn't be about you constantly firing questions at the people. As soon as they've answered question one, you're asking them question two straight away. you want to give them a chance to reflect and associate and think about these issues that you're discussing with them. So don't be afraid to allow pauses to occur. Make it quite natural. Sometimes you can use the pauses as a form of questioning. Other times you can use them just to create a relaxed atmosphere. But silence can be a powerful way of structuring the interview, of relaxing the interviewee, and even of asking questions. So once you've fully designed the questions, you can move on to the actual interviewing process itself. It's important to arrange beforehand with the people that they know what questions are going to be asked, or they know what the themes are. It's important to get their agreement that they're willing to be interviewed, and identify beforehand with them whether or not they're willing to have this recorded, either audio, video, or by pen and paper. So then the interviews themselves are done in a respectful and polite and courteous fashion. A few specific points that are worth making about the interview itself. The first minute of the interview is paramount. It will determine whether the interviewee will speak freely and open up, or will they be guarded and non-cooperative. So the first minute, you must be very attentive. You must listen. You must show respect and show courtesy. And indeed, it's always a good idea to start an interview with a briefing. The briefing will outline the purpose of the interview. It will indicate whether you're using a recording device or not. And in the briefing, you should ask the interviewee whether they have any questions before the interview process begins. Just to think a minute about finishing the interview, it's very important to finish the interview with a debriefing to ease the interviewee out of the process. So first you ask the interviewee if there's anything more that they need to say. And you may highlight then yourself what you think the key issues are that the interviewee has raised. Then you may follow that by asking the interviewee gently how they found the interview process. Was it all right for them? You can learn a lot and improve your own interview technique by listening to what people have to say. Following the interview stage, we get on to transcribing. So depending on if the data was recorded already by pen and paper or by typing, that's great. The interview transcript is created already. If it's been recorded by audio or video, then it is required that the entire body of text is typed out. That way, that data set will be available for other people to play with, to analyze, and to reinterpret after you've finished with it. So following the transcription, the analysis is done. And the analysis stage I'll talk about in more detail in a different podcast, but just to say for the moment that analysis consists of you reading and rereading the text, highlighting specific passages on the basis of their appropriateness or linking to specific themes that you're identifying as emerging from all the different interviews. Following that, we have a verification stage where we verify the reliability of the interview process. So we check some of the information. We try and make sure it's as undistorted by personal bias or prejudice as possible. Most particularly in terms of verification, we need to check, are we measuring what we think we are measuring? So do the questions successfully measure what it is our research question wants them to measure? So I suppose this is verification in terms of achieving the ground truth. So if the ground truth is the research question, can we get down to the ground truth, veritas, or the truth, the ground truth, and check that it is in fact accurate what we're measuring? So part of verification is critically analyze all of the stages of the experiment that have occurred so far and attempt to identify potential sources of bias where possible, and then review the analysis and check that. Question the analysis. Does it stand up to careful scrutiny? This is all part of verification. Then once verification is over, we get onto the last stage, reporting. So reporting, it has to be done in a neat, rigorous, clear manner with a stringent discussion of findings and consideration of possible sources of error. It's important when reporting an interview that you report in a balanced fashion. You don't want to go native in the sense of identifying too strongly with the interviewee. But on the other hand, you can't be too analytical or impersonal about it. An interview is an interaction with the person, so the personal perspective shouldn't be lost in the report. It's important as well that you identify how the interviews were undertaken, as well as the outcomes of the interview. so that there's enough context for a reader to understand precisely what was said and how the interviews occurred. So based on all of these seven stages of themizing, designing, interviewing, transcribing, analyzing, verifying, and reporting, it's hoped that the types of interviews you do will be a lot better, a lot more considered, will be a lot more thought out. So thanks very much for taking the time to listen to this talk.